To what purpose could a portion of our naval force be at any time, but more especially in time of profound peace, more honourably, or more usefully employed, than in completing those details of geographical and hydrographical science of which the grand outlines have been boldly and broadly sketched by Cook, Vancouver, and Flinders, and others of our countrymen? These words were written in 1816 by John Barrow, Second Secretary to the Admiralty, in the introduction to Captain James Kingston Tuckey's journal of his expedition to the Congo of that same year. They were read by few, but their swords to plowshares sentiment was shared by many, particularly by the officers of the Royal Navy. Having swelled during the Napoleonic Wars to proportions that would not be equalled for a century, the Royal Navy was in the throes of massive disarmament. On the whole, it was a straightforward process. The ships were laid up in ordinary, and the seamen were simply thrown back onto the streets, from which they had often been press-ganged in the first place. The officers, however, were a different matter. They were career men. They had political clout, and they could not be dismissed so easily. In fact, their numbers increased until the Navy, reduced to a rump of some 23,000 men from a peak of more than 130,000, had one officer for every four men. But 90% of these officers had nothing to do. Mothballed and half pay, they yearned for something. A war would have been good to get them back into service, but a war was unlikely. Their only hope of advancement was if someone higher up the Navy list died. Alas, such deaths proved rare in peace. 30 years on, the Navy was still feeling the effects of the Napoleonic Wars. The average age of an admiral was 76. Below them, on the list, hundreds of grey-haired captains drew their half-pay with autumnal melancholy. In 1846, of 1,151 officers, only 172 were in full employment. Half-pay was not a happy prospect, amounting to little more than subsistence. So when Barrow asked the question, "To what purpose?" the response was enthusiastic. To what purpose, indeed? Captain James Kingston Tuckey could have told them. But alas, he was dead. The Admiralty Boardroom, situated on the first floor of Admiralty House, Whitehall, was the nerve centre of the world's largest and mightiest navy.